We're going to go quickly through a couple of these objections. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but and then we're going to pray for anybody this morning who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go in the other room and just spend a little bit of time in worship. We're going to pray. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask God to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask Jesus to pour His Holy Spirit upon us. And you're going to be filled with the Spirit, and you're going to speak with tongues. All right? Here's one objective. It's up to God. If God wants me to have the gift of speaking in tongues, He will give it to me. Well, that's not how God works. Huh? Yeah, he poured it out on the day of Pentecost. It's been poured out. It's taking it now. It's asking. It's seeking. There's desire that's there. There's a scripture in Luke 11. I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened. Everyone who asks receives. How many that ask receive? Everyone. The one who seeks will do what? Find. And the one who knocks, what will happen? Okay, so let's start asking, seeking, and knocking. Which of you fathers? So now he's trying to give us an example here. Which of you fathers, if your son asked for a fish, said, hey, have a snake instead? Would you do that? Or if he asked for an egg, dad, can I have an egg? Yeah, have a scorpion here. I mean, Jesus is using, I think this is comedy. And I'm sure that Jesus and these guys are all around laughing about this, but he's trying to make a point. He's saying, look, you have a heavenly Father that you are coming and asking for something that is critical to your life. And I want you to realize that if you ask Him for this, He's not going to give you something different. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Isn't that amazing? There's another thing I'll say about this is that sometimes people... I'm going to cover it down at the bottom there. So I think there's also an element of desire that's there. And this is 1 Corinthians 14:1. It's not speaking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit specifically, but the gifts of the Spirit. But there is a desire, I believe, it's there. You know, if you're here today and you've not been baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and you really have no desire for that, I would tell you don't pray for it then. You know, it's just like it's like trying to lead a person to Christ that doesn't want to get saved, you know. Pray and say, God, you know what, change my heart because I just don't have this desire within me, you know. Move upon me and change me. Some people say it's too emotional. Well, emotions are really, I mean, it's part of our personality. How many of you know emotional people? Okay, emotional people, when they are baptized with the Holy Spirit, will probably be emotional. But that is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because some of you know people who are not emotional. And when they're baptized with the Holy Spirit, they're probably not going to be emotional. And that doesn't mean they didn't receive it. See, because emotions are part of our makeup. I have them all the time, whether I'm baptized in the Spirit or not. And so the Holy Spirit does not make you become emotional. You may have seen maybe movies or videos or maybe have been in a church and someone says, hey, oh, I'm filled with the Spirit, and they start, you know, doing backflips or, you know, rolling on the floor or foaming at the mouth. You say, if that's the Holy Spirit, I don't want anything to do with it. Well, let me just tell you this. If that's not your personality, it ain't going to happen to you when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will do backflips. It says when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will speak in tongues. And for some people, it may be an emotional experience. For others, it may not. It doesn't matter. That emotions are a dime a dozen. We don't build our faith on emotion. You know, you've probably known people that got saved and they cried when they got saved. And you probably know people that got saved and they just said, Jesus, come in my heart. And they didn't cry. They're both as equally saved. You know, so don't let maybe an experience you saw with another person who was emotional make you think, well, that's what the Holy Spirit's about. I'm really afraid of doing that in front of the church, so I guess I'm not going to step into this. Not that way. Holy Spirit is, he is a gentleman, as well as the amazing God of the universe. And you know, the Holy Spirit never takes over your will. You know that? You've heard about demon possession. The difference between being possessed by the Holy Spirit and possessed by a demon, takes over your will. This is before you're saved. You know, after you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. There's no way a demon's going to go in there. But you, when you have the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So I don't ever have to stand and say, well, the Holy Spirit made me do what I couldn't control myself. You can always control yourself. Because he doesn't pump your brain out. He doesn't pump your will out. That's why there needs to be a yieldedness to our heart to be used by him. Speaking in tongues is of the devil. Jesus said we would speak in tongues. You know, and I know anybody that doesn't believe in tongues always says Mark 16 isn't part of the Bible. That's fine. Take it out of the Bible. There's plenty of other scriptures that say it is in the Bible. So have anybody ever heard that before? Mark 16 is not part of the Bible? Because they found some older manuscripts that have it missing. And that's, again, neither here nor there. The question I ask is, are these scriptures verified and bona fide in other places? And they are, you know. He says, in my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues. Paul's concern at Corinth was not the source of tongues, but its proper use. He never says that it's of the devil. Matter of fact, I challenged a person one time. He said, I've had a hard time with the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I've always been taught that speaking in tongues is of the devil. I said, listen, go and put together a Bible study for me. You just whatever you want, and come and teach me that. I said, I guarantee you, you're going to come back with nothing. There is nothing in the Bible that says tongues is of the devil. It doesn't even allude to it. So, you know, again, when you hear these things, you need to challenge them by saying, what does the Scripture say? As a matter of fact, I mean, one of the things here I kind of like is that when Jesus was using this example of fathers, if your son asked for a fish, we'd give him a snake. If he asked for an egg, we'd give him a scorpion. He kind of used these examples of satanic things, didn't he? You know, when Jesus talked about going out and overcoming the enemy, he said, you will tread on snakes and scorpions. They were like symbols of what Satan's work might be like. And in these examples, he says, hey, if you ask for an egg, he's not going to give you a scorpion. It's not going to be something satanic. Or if he asks for a fish, he's not going to give you a snake. It's nothing like that. So if you, who are good, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will my Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So I think even in this, you know, you could say that he was trying to remove from them this idea that it was even satanic, because I know, and I'm sure you've read or heard, there are people that are Satan worshipers that speak in tongues of some sort. And when you are a child of God and you are asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's no way you're going to get anything but what you're asking for. It's discouraging to seek and not receive. You know, that's happened to people before. They prayed, nothing happened. I'm discouraged. My questions are you thirsty? Are you seeking with expectation? Are you expecting? Are you willing to speak in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance? Jeremiah 29 says, you will seek me when you find me. You will find me when you seek me with all your heart. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. There is an element of faith that's here. Sometimes people say tongues were only for the infant stage of the church. You know, all I can say is the church doesn't come to a place of maturity where things drop off. It's not like a linear growth. Well, we don't need salvation anymore because we've matured to a certain place, or we don't need water baptism anymore, or we don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit anymore or we don't need apostles for today, or we don't need evangelism for today. I mean, the church doesn't grow that way. It's not a linear growth of maturity where, well, I've got that, we don't need that, we don't need this, we don't need this, we don't need that. And that's how oftentimes the Holy Spirit and the things of the Holy Spirit are treated. That we've come through this linear progression and we've reached a point now where we no longer need that, and you just don't see that anywhere in the Scripture. Tongues promotes an invisible caste system in the church. It can, and I'm saying to us, it should not, and I hope it won't. What this means is some people say, well, hey, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're not. I'm better than you. No way. No way. And if anybody ever comes to you that way, you should rebuke them. You know, and say, hey, I'm trying to get this. Can you help me out here? Tongues was a lesser sign gift in the early church. And they'll use like 1 Corinthians 14. I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. And therefore, my brothers and sisters, well, these are two scriptures that says you should be speaking in tongues. My brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. So the emphasis in Corinth wasn't that tongues is bad and shouldn't be used. It was, let's use our gifts for edification here. It was not a lesser gift. He just said, if you use it, make sure it's interpreted. Okay, we're going to close up now. We're going to go in the other room and talk about.
Pastor, could I give it like a 2-minute testimony?
Yeah, go ahead.
What happened? I think it's relevant to this, and I think it will help someone. When I came to the Lord, I did it outside of the church. I did it on my own. I wasn't going for instruction. I was searching and getting knowledge on my own. And so I was getting knowledge, and I was saved, and I was growing. But I wasn't getting instruction or going any place to get further knowledge. But Kathy, when I came to the Lord, Kathy got saved after I did. But she started going with a group of girls to Bible studies and was learning about the Holy Spirit. And she was learning about being filled with the Holy Spirit and the gifts. While at the same time, I wasn't, because I didn't get instruction. I was looking on my own. She came to me, or I just heard it or something one day, where she had the gift of tongues, and I had the feeling of, I'm searching for God. I want everything He has to give, but I don't understand this. I don't have this gift, and I want everything He has to offer. But at the same time, I wasn't with anybody to help me with this. But I did want to believe what she was telling me. And so it happened just like this. It was remarkable. I went into the basement one night and I said to God, I am not leaving this basement until you show me this gift that you gave Kathy. I want it too. And I was down there with my Bible reading. And I was downstairs quite a bit of the night, and because I told him, I'm not leaving until you show me. And so I was, and you read this Luke 11:9-13,
yep.
Ask and it will be given, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. And that just reminded me of, that's what happened with me that night. My heart was opened, I asked, and he did receive, and I started speaking things that I didn't understand, and it surprised me at first, but then I realized what was going on, and so I just was just all excited, from the teaching that you're giving today, that was telling me that that's when I received, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I had been saved, I received the Holy Spirit, but I wasn't baptized until, and I know after that, I know speaking, or being baptized gives you power and boldness, and He gave me enough boldness at that time for 10 people. I think I was a little obnoxious maybe at times, but I just wanted to share that when you really and truly in your heart want to receive this, it will happen.
Yep, amen. Thanks, Jerry. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall become obnoxious. Now, there is boldness.